Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are getting an update from Granite Creek Copper, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol GCX and on the OTCQB under the symbol GCXXF. We are chatting with the president and CEO, Tim Johnson. Now, Granite Creek Copper focused at the CarMax property. This is in Yukon. This is a high-grade copper, gold, silver project. Already has a resource of right around 400 million pounds of copper. And some of the near-term drivers here, at least one catalyst that the company is working forward with is the PEA that is on track for this year. We recently had some news that the company retained SGS Canada for this updated PEA. Tim, give us a little overview on what investors can look forward to in terms of this updated PEA, please.
Absolutely. So first, there's one number that you got wrong, and I'm going to correct it because it's very important to us. We actually have 650 million pounds contained copper now, and that was in March. We announced a resource update. We updated the 43-101 report. And in that report, we saw a 43% increase in the measured and indicated copper on our project, giving us that 650 million pounds. So great. Thank you for that great introduction. I should let your listeners know that we are coming to you live from the Vancouver Resource Investment Conference. I'm on the floor now. It's a good-looking conference. I think the retail investors are having a solid look at our sector. So I'd encourage your listeners to check out the conference or check out the junior mining space. But you asked about the PEA. Yes, so there was a previous PEA on this project produced in 2017. That PEA looked at a small portion of the resource. It looked at about 11 million tons of oxide material. The new resource that we've just published in March, we are now up to 36 million tons of material, both oxide and sulfide. And this new PEA will look at all the resources, all the oxide and sulfide resources. Our goal is to get to somewhere between a 15 to 20 year mine life at the 5,000 tons per day proposed in the previous study. So that's where the PEA is at.
Well, Tim, I know you're continuing to advance things like the social license, the metallurgical work. You're continuing to get your ducks in a row, let's say. But I think that the big news is what you just said, that you're now going to be including the sulfides as well as the oxides. And I guess in layman's terms, explain to investors why that's an important development and how you're viewing this project moving forward.
Absolutely. So there is different processing for oxide and sulfide, and that's well known in the industry. Ironically, it's quite often cheaper and easier to process sulfide ore than it is oxide, depending on the deposit. And this project has long been known as a small oxide play. So several previous companies tried to put the oxide portion into production. When we took the project over, we just didn't see enough tonnage to have a long mine life. You know, they were proposing about a 7-year life previously. We want to get it into the 15 to 20 year range. And the only way we saw to be able to do that was to address the sulfide that was present at the project. So at this project, you have an oxide cap. So the sulfide has actually been oxidized over time. But then underneath that is the sulfide ore that we think can be processed cheaper than the oxide ore. So by bringing both the oxide and sulfide into view, by inputting those into a new PEA, we think we're gonna greatly improve the economics on the PEA, and we're gonna have that long mine life that you need for a base metal play that can provide that long economic activity in the Yukon for local communities and the Yukon itself.
So Tim, any expectations on where costs are going to go on top of simply that 2017 PEA, but then also bringing the sulfides into the equation?
Yeah, well, that's a multivariable problem, and that's why you do a third-party study. And, you know, SGS Canada has taken on that study for us. One of the things that we do look at, what is a similar size project, and that is you can look north to the Minto mine. They're a 4,000 ton per day operation, but they're underground. And just so your listeners know, the cost to produce a pound of copper is significantly different than an underground versus open pit. We're going to be an open pit operation. We see somewhere between 50 cents to a dollar per pound difference between open pit and underground based on a similar grade, similar mill size. And if you look at Minto's guidance, they propose that they're going to be producing copper between 260 and 270 a pound. So we expect to be significantly under that on a per pound basis. And, you know, a very forward-looking statement, but based on the 2017 numbers, we would expect somewhere, you know, $350 to $450 million to build the mine. I know that's a very broad number, but until we get those final numbers from the inputs that SGS is doing for us, it's, you know, that's a safe range to assume that we're going to be somewhere in there.
Well, Tim, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm going to do it anyways and ask you, do you think you're more interested in bringing this project into development on your own and raising that CapEx and bringing the team together that would, you know, put it into production? Or would you be more apt to partner with a larger company and JV with them or even sell the project? What's your longer term vision of the project after you get this PEA back?
Well, absolutely. So within the Metallic Group, with all three companies within the group, I've stated all along that we have three exit strategies. The first exit strategy would be to find a modest resource that you do some sort of a toll milling or operation with your neighbor. Basically, you're handing material over the fence. And we actually think we're beyond that. The next level would be to become a takeover target for the operating mine in the district. And we believe that's where we're there. Not that Mintral has made any noises about taking us over, but we represent significant incremental ore for their operations. But the third exit, and the one I think will have the most shareholder value, and the one that we're really focused on, is to attract a larger copper player to the district, right? So recognizes the value that we've created in drilling off this resources, recognizes the blue sky of the resources, and maybe recognizes the value of further consolidation within the district. We think that this is a strong district play. We think that the resources that we have combined with other players in the area would be of compelling interest to a large copper producer. And that's our goal, is to bring somebody in. We are explorers. We're very good at exploring and developing resources, but we're not mine builders. So I would say we are probably 80 to 90% in favor of joint venture or acquisition of the company. But you keep that 10%. That, you know, if it made sense, if we could source the right team, of course we would look at taking it ourselves. But it's really not taking it to production ourselves, but it's really not our focus.
So we actually haven't talked a whole lot about some of the action going on in Yukon, I think simply because it's been kind of the off season up there, but things are starting to ramp up. On top of maybe the straightforward takeover candidate, you mentioned that, look, you're trying to attract new copper players into the sector. What changes have you noticed in terms of companies entering Yukon, spending money there recently?
Well, I mean, the big one, it was Rio's investment in the casino project owned by Western Copper and Gold last year, $26 million. We have seen lots of other interest from majors, a bit of a tire kicking at this point, but, you know, there's been companies that have approached us to get into our data room and see if there's something that they want to explore further. So yeah, we are seeing the interest from the majors like Teck and those in the territory, and I think that's going to continue, because I mean, what you'll notice is some of these big companies with the commodity prices where they are, they're awash with cash, and they're going to need to make acquisitions at some point to put the pounds and the ounces back on their books, and one of the best ways for them to do that is for acquisitions of juniors like ourselves.
Well, Tim, it's going to be exciting to follow along with this PEA as it comes out later in the year. But I know that you have other news coming down the pipeline, and that is you're about to gear up for your 2022 exploration season. I guess with the advent of bringing these sulfides into the mix, are you going to be doing some deeper drilling and testing the sulfide area? What can you tell us about the upcoming drill program?
Yeah, so our focus this year is actually going to be some of the satellite targets in the northern part of the claim block where we did an IP survey last year. And we've developed over 20 new-ish targets. Some of them have minor work on them, and some of them are drill-ready, and some of them need more work. But we've got multiple targets in the northern part of our claim block that we feel can significantly add resources in the long term. So as we work through the PEA, we're going to be looking at developing some of these further targets, and then we may do some drilling at the mine site and a couple of deep holes to see how deep the sulfide goes. The sulfide is open at depth in all three of the conceptual pits that make up our resource. But our focus will be on some of the earlier stage targets.
Can you give us any more information on some of these targets? Maybe the ones that you're most encouraged with or the ones that are a bit further advanced that will be drilled early on in the program?
Yeah, so one of our prime targets this year is Zone A. You can get more information on Zone A from our website. This was one of the original zones that the company acquired in 2019. At that time, we did a couple holes on it. We hit a very narrow intercept of 4.5 meters, but it was graded over 4% copper with good gold there as well. So that will definitely be followed up. We did an IP survey over that last year to help us confirm the orientation on the mineralization to further drive our drill program. And then there's a couple other zones, Zone C and Zone B, that, again, haven't seen any significant work since the 1980s. We are now have rehabilitated the trail into those sites. That was done last year, and we've got several drill targets there as well. And then there was some brand-new targets developed from the IP survey that weren't on our radar that we need to, again, prioritize as we move into the drilling season. So, there's lots of places we can still chase out there in the northern part of the claim block.
Well, Tim, just as we wrap up, I know that there's, you know, the big news is the PEA for this year, but as we await this drill program and the official announcement of it, do you have a rough idea of how many meters you're going to drill, how many holes you're going to drill? Do you have a little bit of some general information you could share with us today?
Yeah, so we're looking at a bit of a smaller program last year. We're looking at about 5,000-meter program and then some trenching to go along with that, and we're budgeting just around $2 million to do that. We won't need to do any work to support the PEA. There is some metallurgical work that we will be doing to support the PEA because, of course, the sulfide portion hasn't really been looked at on this project. So we do need to do a little bit of met work on the sulfide. That work's underway, and then once that's complete, of course, we'll be discussing that with the market as well.
Okay, Tim, appreciate this update. Thanks for bringing us up to speed on really the work plans and a main catalyst coming, that updated PEA. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Tim regarding any of the work planned this year at the CarMax property, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or chat@kereport.com. We will get those addressed for you, and we will follow up as more news hits the market. Tim, thank you again for the update. I'll see you at the conference tomorrow.
Hey, thank you very much.